I need some help. I'm writing this after I had the most frightening experience of my life. To tell you the truth, I don't even fully understand what happened. What's worse is that I don't know if I'm in danger. Let me give you some context. Clara and I started dating a couple of months ago. We met in a pub. She looked sad and lonely, so I approached her. We started dating and I immediately thought she was odd. It was a somehow fascinating oddness though. I confirmed that the first time we decided to meet at her place. We exchanged messages all day, knowing I'd come for dinner, so around 7 or 8 p.m. Yet, she kept texting me, asking me to confirm I'd come at 8, and definitely not later. I found it a bit weird, such an obsession for a specific time, for a date taking place at home, but that wasn't even nearly as odd as what followed. I did come at 8, it was clear I was going to stay over for the night, so I had brought my backpack with me. We had some wine, cuddled on the couch, and then started talking. At 11:45 sharp, she abruptly stopped our conversation and stood up to go close all the blinds of the house and lock the door. I remember the time because she did the exact same thing ever since. Every night, at least at 11:50, she would stand up, no matter what we were doing, and she'd close all the windows, blinds, and lock the entrance door. I always thought she had an irrational fear for burglars. That's what she confirmed as well when I asked her. Obviously, it didn't take me long to realize that she didn't want to get out of the house beyond that time either. If we were to go out, we had to be home before 11:50. That was a frustrating situation, and her attempts at changing subject or avoiding questions made it only worse. One night, I got enough of it. When she stood up at the usual time, I grabbed her arm, looked into her eyes, and told her to sit down. "There's no reason to do it now, Clara. Let's just stay on the couch a bit longer, and then we'll close the blinds later, okay?" I told her, holding my firm glance onto her eyes while trying to sound assertive. She jerked her arm away from my grip and rushed to the blinds without an answer. I could see then how scared she seemed to be. Only when she sat down, did she explain what back then did make sense to me. "Martin," she started, suddenly calm again. "I was in a difficult relationship before ours. My ex-boyfriend, he was very jealous, to the point he'd be a little violent sometimes." I suddenly got uncomfortable and stared at her. "No burglars then. What do you mean, violent?" "He'd attack me, grab my phone, check my messages. He'd show up under my window and spy on me. He freaked me out." I stood up, suddenly nervous. He's still doing it?" She shook her head, slowly. "Oh no, he doesn't do that anymore. It was some time ago. But somehow, he left a trace." She sighed, and then raised her head, smiling at me. "Can we please just close the blinds every night? I just feel so much better." I agreed, but I started thinking she had gone through a trauma and she'd need help. All in all, I believed her. I believed her until I heard her speaking alone in the middle of the night. I woke up and turned to hug her, but she wasn't in bed. I could see the dim light of the hall getting through the bottom of the bedroom door. I opened my ears, trying to figure out what was going on, and that's when I clearly heard her whispers. "Leave me alone. You can't get in. I know you can't." She hissed towards someone who appeared to be outside of the door. At that point, I rushed out of the bedroom. "What's going on?" She seemed shocked to see me, as if awakened from a nightmare. She slammed the entrance door and I confirmed she had been keeping it open to talk to someone. She turned to me and I saw in her face she was scared. She was pale. She looked weak and tired. "Nothing, Martin. I tend to sleepwalk." This time, it sounded like a lie. I suddenly knew beyond any doubt she was hiding something.
"Are you kidding me? Your sleepwalking gets you to open door and speak to someone who isn't there?"
"I... sometimes... please... please, believe me. It gets worse sometimes," she cried. I brought her to bed and told her I believed her, but I didn't, not this time. Who the heck was she talking to in the middle of the night? Someone who was trying to get in? Was it her ex-boyfriend? The following nights that I had been sleeping there regularly, I started noticing a pattern. Every night, she would stand up, open the entrance door, close it, only to then do the same for each and every blind. Open, wait a few seconds, and then close. I thought confronting her wouldn't make sense, as she'd lie anyway. Instead, one night I decided to stay awake. I waited for her breathing to slow down as a sign she had fallen asleep, and I slid out of the bedroom. I went to the blinds and started repeating what she had been doing. I opened the first blind and just peeked through it. The street was quiet, completely empty. Only a few lampposts were interrupting an otherwise pitch-black neighborhood. So I went to the next blind, which provided a slightly different angle, and I opened that one too. I gasped as my stomach bulged. To my horror and disbelief, there was a man standing just outside the building, a tall figure, looking straight at the window I was peeking from, like he knew I would be there. What horrified me more than anything else was the way the man was standing. He was a statue still. He didn't blink. He didn't move a finger, nor did he seem to breathe, as the lack of any condensation seemed to suggest. Shaking my head in disbelief, I closed the blind and started walking to bed, determined to call the police the next day. That's when the motion sensor light in the entrance hall outside of our apartment went on. Still on my way to the bedroom, I froze for a moment. Then I slowly reached for the doorknob and opened the door, only to find a quiet and empty corridor. I checked outside from the window again. The man had disappeared. I decided to wait for the morning to confront Clara, but it took me 3 hours to fall asleep, thinking of that pale statue still man, standing just below the apartment, staring at me without blinking. I fell asleep, but it didn't last. I woke up to Clara's terrifying scream. It was so loud and desperate, I felt like choking for the first few seconds I was awake. I checked the clock, 4 a.m. Clara had left the bed as usual. I stood up and ran towards the living room, where the shout appeared to have come from. The image I got in front of me initially froze me. She was sitting on the floor, her arms embracing her legs against her chest. She was shaking violently and whispering something. She seemed in shock and wouldn't react to my words. I got closer to grasp the words she was repeatedly whispering. "Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." I tried to shake her out of her state, but she wouldn't stop. I ran to the blinds, checked outside. Nobody was there. I went back to her. "Clara, you have to tell me what the heck is going on," I shouted in panic. Only at that moment, she suddenly stopped shaking. And with an incredibly sudden calmness, she slowly turned her head to me. Her face was the palest I had ever seen on a human being. "He couldn't have come back. I thought I was free. But he's here now. He shouldn't have come back. I thought I was free. But he's here now." Her eyes looked empty. I had never seen her nor anyone else in that state. Nothing made sense to me anymore. I ignored her cries and carried her to bed. I didn't sleep until dawn, and when I woke up, she was making breakfast, like nothing had happened. When I questioned her, she chuckled, like I had asked the most stupid question. "It's my sleepwalking, I told you. Don't make too much of it. I meant pancakes. She showed me a pan with something cooking in it, and I looked at her. She did look better, but she was still somehow different. Like something had broken, and she was denying it. My head was buzzing through a thousand explanations. Maybe she was suffering from PTSD, or she was on the edge of a mental breakdown, or she was lying. It's going to be fine. We are almost through. She told me later that day, and somehow that last phrase had a chill go down my spine. Almost through with what? I dismissed the thoughts and left to go to work, leaving the due conversation about what had happened for later on. That was yesterday. I couldn't stop thinking about the night I had just passed. And when I got to the apartment in the evening, I spilled it out right away. Clara, I saw your ex. Bob? He was standing outside. I know he's still staring at you. We need to put an end to this. You saw him? She asked me, apparently appealed. I'm confident I did. After all, who else could it be? He's a tall man, dark hair, isn't he? She turned pale, and for a moment I thought she was going to have another panic attack, or whatever that had been. I think you should leave now, she told me after a few seconds. I won't leave, Clara. We need to go to the police. We need to do something. You don't understand. He's dangerous. He's violent. I tried to stop him once and... She swallowed. I had no doubt at that point she was terrified. It made everything worse. Clara, I will stay here. We will have a good sleep. You won't move from bed. And tomorrow we will go to the police. She reluctantly accepted and now wish she hadn't. The night came down on us quietly. We didn't talk at all. We were both clearly tense. At midnight, she had closed the blinds and the door. She went to bed. She seemed to be in a weird state. I mean, weirder than usual, that is. She hadn't spoken much. She was still pale, and she didn't look at me for the whole night. I went to bed and fell asleep. At 1 a.m., a loud bang in the corridor woke me up. It sounded like it had come from the door, like someone had bumped into it. I looked at Clara. She was sleeping. I slowly got out of bed, opened the bedroom door, and that's when I saw him. In the front of me at the end of the corridor, there was a man standing. It was the same man I had seen the other night. I couldn't help but notice that the entrance door behind him was open, even though I was sure Clara had locked it. The light in the hall reflected on his calm, inexpressive and yet somehow furious face. He didn't move, didn't even blink. He just stared at me so intensively, I instinctively took a step back. Leave! I shouted after a few seconds. After I found back some strength, I started walking towards him. He slowly turned, got out of the door, leaving it open, and disappeared through the corridor. I ran after him to the door and got into the hall, but he was gone. There was no trace. I shook Clara awake. He has the keys, I said in a rushed and tense voice. No, he doesn't, she moaned, like she just didn't want to be bothered. He does. I saw him at the door. She suddenly opened her eyes and sat on the bed. He was inside? Yes, we have to leave. We'll go to my apartment. She shook her head. You don't understand. He will find us. He won't leave me alone. You should leave. He has seen you now. She sounded desperate, not just scared anymore. No, that's out of the question. We're going now. She fought me for a while, but eventually she agreed. We got into the car in the middle of the night and got to my place, a small studio on the fifth floor of an old building. I was so tired, I fell asleep. Feeling safe at home, I thought I'd deal with it today.
It must have been a couple of hours, maybe less. It was still dark. When I woke up hearing whispers, I turned my head and saw Clara standing in the front of the window, which I saw was open. A freezing winter breeze came into the room. Clara? I wondered if I was dreaming it. Clara was standing, the window open, her white sleeping dress floating with the breeze. She was whispering something. I sat on my elbows. Clara! She then raised her voice, enough for me to hear what she was saying, but without moving. But without moving. I told you we couldn't run. I told you he wouldn't leave me alone. She was facing the window. Her back turned to me. She sounded calm. That's when it happened. I suddenly had an uneasy and sudden feeling that someone was behind me. I slowly turned my head and was met with a grinning, pale face, looking at me with furious rage at just a few inches away from my face. I shouted and jumped out of bed. I fell on my back, just next to Clara. She hadn't moved. She was still whispering and staring outside the window. I told you he's jealous, she said, with a chilling calmness, like nothing could interrupt her from her thoughts. I stood up, looked at the corner where the grinning man had been standing. There was no one. I told you I tried to stop him, she continued, slowly, without moving her eyes, fixed on the outside. I told you he wouldn't leave me alone. I was still looking around the bedroom in shock, only half listening. I had to do something. He wouldn't leave me alone. He was beating me. She turned her head, and this time her face was so different. I didn't recognize her. Her pupils were dilated. Her lips were so thin, she seemed to be mouthless. Her look was blank, like she was there only physically. So, 1 year ago, I shot him with my dad's gun. I couldn't believe what I just heard. I killed him. I buried him. But things only got worse. He never really left. That's when she climbed over the window, and before I could realize what was about to happen, she jumped.